I'm not really a podcaster. I'm a songwriter. And every day, I get to hear stories transform into songs. Now you can too. Welcome to The Root Note. My name is Shane Yoder. I'm a songwriter, producer, and owner of PutThemInASong.com. I guess now I'm a podcaster. This podcast is to showcase what I do for a living. I take real stories, real people, and put them in a song. You'll hear stories that will make you laugh, cry, get angry. Some may hit too close to home. Some may even be yours. At the end of each episode, you will hear an original song that was written based on the guests and the stories that you just heard. And since this is the first episode, this one's about me and my family. This is episode one of The Root Note, Taking a Long Way Home.
Call is now being recorded.
Hello?
Hello? Hey.
Shane, I'm in my car phone.
A car phone?
Well, I mean, I'm...
You still have a car phone?
This is starting out good.
Are you still there?
Y'all lost you there. Last I heard was where... Trish, get away. She's up. I came up here in the office to try and so I could have some privacy, and she stands outside. See, there's a difference between boys and girls.
Yep.
I was about to say that.
This is my interview, not yours.
The location we grew up in.
Well, the farm we lived on was 175 acres.
Rolling Hill. Farmers, blue collar, wave to your neighbor, know everybody's name type of play.
It was rural. There's fields, there was woods, there's yards, you know. There was a creek below the house, and all of those made for a whole lot of fun. A whole lot of exploration. You could go any direction and do a lot of different things and come back the next day and do basically the same thing and be different.
We got a Walmart when I was in high school, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And even then it was 45 minutes away. That's a good way to describe how far away from stuff you are. So we had lots of room to run around and be adventurous.
Right.
Very pretty that I ended up taking for granted at one point. But it's very quaint. The high school was, I think, what do we have? 400 people total?
Yeah.
I graduated in a class less than 100. And I distinctly remember I came in academically at number 53. There were no doctors or lawyers.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah,
my class started off as about 100, and by the time we graduated, it was far less than that.
Oh, yeah. Well, most people actually, their senior year, instead of graduating, it started working.
Yeah, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. And that's what makes the world go round.
Exactly. So we need places like Accident, Maryland.
One of the things that has happened frequently here, when people come to this place, whether they're pulling in, a UPS driver making a delivery, or we're having a little bit of a picnic or a party or whatever outside, people have often expressed to us that this place is so peaceful, and they used words that went a lot deeper than just, it's nice, it looks pretty, or something like that. It was reaching inside them.
What was it like raising two boys?
Well, let's put it this way. You're very adventurous. And it's like you always seem to, you seem fearless. I think that's another thing. You didn't seem to be afraid of anything, either one of you. You would try things. You would explore. You were curious.
Well, it was actually fun. Not that I knew what I was doing, but, you know, when we first brought home the boys from the hospital, you know, it was like, You know, people would say, oh, when they turn two, or you know, when they get to a certain stage, then things are going to get worse. Or, you know, it, just like normal life, there were some ups and downs. But I think every stage, however you broke it down, it was fun. I enjoyed it. And it was not traumatic like people were talking about.
You weren't afraid to go in the water? You specifically, you just would jump in. And, you know, you didn't know how to swim at all. You just jumped in. I was the one who didn't know how to swim. And I had to, you know, go in and, you know, try to get you. I was petrified.
I remember you telling me about the time you took us to the water park. And I kept wanting to go down that big slide.
Yes, I thought there was one black tube up there that nobody was on. And I didn't know that one was, you know, faster than the other. It's like the fastest slide that there was. And you got on first, and I was behind you. And we were going around these sharp corners, but we were going, like, really fast. And I looked in front of me, and all there was your mat. You were not on the mat. That freaked me out, and I was like, I want to slow down, but I didn't. I was too afraid to slow down because I didn't know where you were. I couldn't see you, and the next thing I knew, we were down at the end, and you were like, it had shot you clear out into the pool, and I saw your little head coming up, and all you did was, like, you know, brush your eyes and go over to the edge, and we went down it three times before I realized that it was the fastest one. They called it the demon or something, like, I don't know, demon or devil, whatever it was.
You know, having grown up with two brothers, I didn't see you really getting outside the lines that far. Because I knew, kind of growing up, what those lines are, and, you know, there was times, you know, that, you know, as time went on time for you guys to move into your teenage years and get ready to make your own decisions. You know, I wondered, did we equip you for that? I was more concerned about did I do my part right, or am I doing my part right?
There was a pond that you guys would run around with your bike, and I always told you not to go there, or if you did, you know, you let me know when you went. And I don't know, I looked out the window and I couldn't see you guys anywhere. I called, didn't answer. You know, I looked out, there was no dogs anywhere. And I had heard about some guy was picking up, you know, some freak or whatever that was dangerous. And so he was in the news, and I worried like crazy. And all the five alarms went off in my head that day. And I didn't have a car because it was in the garage. All I had was a bike. So I didn't even put on, like, I had my nightgown on. It was a flannel long nightgown. But I was like, well, I'm just going to get on my bike and go back to the pond, because, like, what if they're drowning or something? So I went flying back through the field and went around the pond, and you guys weren't there. And so I didn't know where you were, so I thought, well, I'm just going to get down the road somewhere. Hopefully I'll find them. Probably could have a mile try to find you. And I looked up out of the corner of my eye, and I saw these red jackets up in the field, and I was like, so I stopped real quick. And
well, our point of view was Mom flying around the corner on a bike, and it looked like you had a cape on because your bathrobe was flying in the air, and we yelled out, Mom, what are you doing? And it was just a loud screech of brakes, and yelling began.
Then it was like a full-fledged yell, because I was so afraid. And finally I found you, then I got to be mad because you guys were not, I think if I remember right, I make you guys go in front of me.
Yeah.
All the way home.
You remember when our dog Sherlock brought back that baby deer?
Yep, drug it in, raised a deer on our sun porch underneath of a card table.
Yeah,
remember that? That deer, it ran around with the dog like they were best friends, slept in the doghouse, ate
dog food.
Mm-hmm. It even came in and laid on the couch whenever the parents weren't there, because the dogs weren't allowed in the house, but we always let them in.
Yeah, let alone a deer.
Yeah.
Well, the deer had a hard time on the hardwood floors.
I remember that. Yep, man, it was like reliving a real life Bambi. That was one I.
We get you a new bike, and then you would take the wheels off and redo them all, and it looked like an old dunker.
Well, that's because we had this game. It was called Cops and Robbers. The game was we'd all take our bikes out on the road, and the guy designated as a cop had to knock all the other robbers off the bikes, and that's how you made an arrest. Sometimes we had sticks to throw in between the spokes, and or hit them with the bike, or we'd run past them and kick them over off the bike or whatever. You know, that's how these bikes got torn apart.
I did not know that game there.
There's a lot of stuff Mom said she knew about, but she didn't really know about.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's lots more. We just knew it.
Did you ever find out when I fell through the ice?
No.
One winter?
You didn't?
No.
Corey and I were back there one winter playing on the ice, and I fell through and made it back, and we went through the back door, so you wouldn't know because you were home at the time.
And I definitely fell in the water.
Yeah.
Dang.
So we went through the back door, and I took off all the wet clothes and kind of hid them, and went and changed real quick before you found out, because I know we'd be in trouble.
No, that's not funny. See? We could have died.
Yeah, could have. But we didn't.
So that makes me wonder where I was. I was too trusting of you guys.
Oh, we were okay.
Yeah, well, I prayed a lot. I still have calluses on my knees.
I remember the feeling I got whenever I got my light. I think that was pretty cool. Because I remember, for no reason, just asking Mom or Dad if I could take their car, and I'd make up some excuse to go driving and whatnot. And
yeah, that was a huge turning point in that town, because, you can't walk anywhere. Once you were legally able to drive somewhere, didn't mean we didn't do it before then, but once you were legally able to, you could go anywhere.
Nope.
A whole new kind of freedom.
And I can't remember if the car that I was driving at the time had a CD player or not. Either way, I would jam out to whatever just as loud as I could, because that was awesome, just having some decent speakers and just going on these curvy roads and just, the sense of freedom too that comes with that.
And I don't think your car had a CD player. I think you used one of those
tape deck adapter to a walkie.
Yeah.
Always hit the anti-skip. I don't even know why that was an option.
Yeah.
I mean, when would you give your Walkman the go ahead, okay, skip whenever you want, You have to tell it not to skip.
Yeah, do your job all the time.
Right, exactly. That's all I'm asking. Which, by the way, changing a CD in a Walkman is far more dangerous than texting, I would say. I mean, you gotta flip the thing open, pull it out, reach up on your visor, because everybody's CDs were up there. Which, another tangent, I remember I had so many CDs on that visor that it snapped. I broke the plastic piece that swivels. And it snapped off because I had way too many CDs.
Nobody put one CD in one sleeve.
It was always
you jam as many CDs in one compartment.
Yeah, then you wonder why all your CDs are scratched.
All right, speaking of Walkmans, how's that for a transition?
Okay, well, give it your best shot here.
What are the early stages of us getting into music?
Well, it was very early on because Dad, he lived and breathed music. I mean, you would sing yourself to sleep when you were a baby. I mean, right from the start, it was like, and it would get really quiet, quiet, quiet. But that's how you would go to sleep.
My songwriting has improved.
little bit. But you would. Grandma would laugh, and she'd say, oh, he's going to sleep, because he'd get, you go, really loud to start out, and then if you got sleepier, you would, like, get real quiet.
There's a video of you standing on the fireplace hearth, Grandpa's, and having one of those guitars that you turn the handle and it plays a tune, and you were up there playing, giving a little performance there and kind of doing a little dance.
So I had just got my first drum set, that blue one. I don't even know what it was. It was blue. No cymbals, three toms, bass drum, and a snare drum. And we had it set up. And Robert had his guitar. It's PV Raptor. He had just learned Wipeout or something like that. So he was playing that. I was doing the Wipeout groove, which, you know, it's just fast.
Well, and at that point, you didn't learn the song. You just started playing real fast on the snare drum.
Right, as fast as you could. The guitar would do whatever he was doing, and you just played as fast as you could. And that's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was music. He didn't have an amp. He was plugged into my stereo system.
Yeah, I remember putting adapters up to your, I don't know how many adapters we had going from his guitar into your CD player, but that's what it was. It was two speakers through a CD player.
Yep. And we ended up playing like, and then he just started playing some chords at similar BPM. And as soon as he started playing that, I mean, it sounded like an actual electric guitar. I mean, it sounded like there was distortion.
Yeah, the speakers were blowing out.
And that's what it was. The speakers were blowing out, and they got this weird fuzz coming through the speaker. And we thought that was the coolest thing. We played that song over and over and over. Yeah. And every time that he'd start those chords again, speakers were... But it sounded so cool. I mean, that, I think, was kind of, for me, started, like, okay, we can do this.
We learned quickly that whenever your son is a drummer in the band comes to your house on Sunday afternoons to play. Whenever Sunday afternoon came around, we could watch TV, we just couldn't hear it. So, and that was fine. And because your philosophy about music at that time seemed to be, if it doesn't sound quite right, just turn it up louder and it'll sound better.
Well, I had to do a little digging, but here's our band, The Unclaimed.
Today, I'll pray just a little bit harder. Tonight, I'll sleep just a little bit longer. Run!
A lot of people discouraged us from sending you guys in that direction because they were like, what are they going to do for a real job? And they were like, well, they have to figure that out. You know, they do have gifts, and we always wanted to encourage you in developing your gifts, whatever that is. And that's kind of where, you know, you ended up at Visible School.
Well, I know of people that have never left the state, you know, of Maryland. You know, granted, where accident was located, it was about 15 minutes from Pennsylvania and about 10 minutes from West Virginia.
Right.
You really got to try super hard to stay in Maryland, especially at the Hancock Point. It's what, 7 miles wide? If you if you throw as much sneeze, you're off the road and into West Virginia.
Describe what it was like leaving home.
Well, the reason I left was to go to school in Memphis.
Let me stop you there before it gets too deep into that. This is a direct quote from Mom.
That was really, really hard for us to do to leave you down in, you know, at 18 years old in a state that was 12 hours away. And, it was easier to leave Corey there because I knew he was there. That might have not been a good
thing. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Get him out of here. Thank goodness. Oh, yeah, that's classic. Well, thanks, Mom. That's funny. So obviously I had to leave, went to school in Memphis there, but leaving town, I think the whole appeal of leaving accident and going to a city that people actually knew of was cool. You know,
yeah.
You know, when you tell people, yeah, I'm moving to Memphis. What? Yeah, so cool. You know, just that, I think that the feeling that you got, the satisfaction of, you know, telling people that you're leaving, you're doing something, you know, I mean, you're going off, you're trying something new.
We dropped you off and I just remember the pit in my stomach as we drove up the road for the first time, knowing that you were there and we weren't going to be there for some time and probably wouldn't see you for a while. But as time has passed and you guys have had your experiences away from here, I guess, we're still home, if you want to call it that, but the connection is still there, it's still strong, and occasionally we do get to see you here or we see you there, but I guess, yeah, you moved away, but in another way, you never did.
I mean, we always knew you and Corey would come out right, but we didn't want you to have to go through a lot of pain to get there. But at the same time, we knew that, you know, you had to find out.
Do you remember how long it took you to realize that, wow, where I grew up was pretty awesome?
I would say whatever we started bringing friends home from school, from Memphis, you know, because you don't realize that until people that didn't grow up there pointed out to you. That I remember coming back and saying it was, well, this isn't bad here, you know. It was relaxing coming home.
It's the growing up and it's the whole process of leaving that creates that road home.
Call it Podunk, call it what you want, but man, it was. I'm glad that I grew up in a town like that.
And now, with Cody Gregg on vocals, this is Taking the Long Way Home.
I remember taking off down the drive, training wheels, open roads and blue skies. I pedaled for miles, it seemed like, on that road, taking the long way home. A high school new car and a girl, a new kind of free in my world, making love, curfews and wrong turns. On that road, taking the long way home. I keep my eyes on that front porch light, living my life past the welcome sign. The only way I know how to find my own is taking the long way home. Mom said goodbye and a call. If you break down, change your mind or get lost. There were tears in my eyes, I drove off. On that road, taking the long way away from home.
Sometimes it feels like I've done something wrong, taking the long way home. I keep my eyes on that front porch light, living my life past the welcome sign. The only way I know how to find my own is taking the long way home. Yeah, yeah. When I see Jesus someday, I'll tell by the smile on his face, the crashes and swerves along the way are paved on that road and taking the long way home. I keep my eyes on that front porch light, living my life past the welcome sign. The only way I know how to find my own is taking the long way home. Yeah, taking the long way home.
The Root Note has been brought to you by Put Them in a Song in collaboration with MBI Studios. All guests know they are being recorded and are willing to be. All music and songs are created and scored by PutThemInASong.com. You can follow the Root Note Podcast at Root Note Pod on Twitter. If you would like to have a song or music created for you or a loved one, visit PutThemInASong.com, where you have a better voice than you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Root Note.